Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. And this is a little Christmas story from Michael Sneed's column in the Sun-Times. Always enjoy reading this, sharing this with our listeners. It's a Christmas story. Michael writes, I once had a boss who felt a good story was worth repeating. I'm told this little yarn, which is a true story about a pal of mine and one I've printed in the past, has wound up on more than one refrigerator door and has generated a lovely response over the years. So here's the tale I've entitled Sam I Am. This is the Christmas story about a dad named Steve who has a son named Sam who learned the truth about Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. But like a good father, Steve worried about how his son was handling this turn in his life. So Steve penned a note to Sam from Santa and left it under the tree. It read, Dear Sam, your dad stayed up last night to tell me that you now know as much about me as I do about you. Well, good. I'm glad you asked. And don't worry, no child ever really leaves me. Ask your mom. Ask your dad. They know I don't live in the North Pole. Too cold. They know I don't ride in a sleigh. Too dangerous. Still, they love me, and so will you even 50 years from now. Oh, and what do you think happened last night just as you were asking about me? Why, a baby was born out in Kalispell, Montana. That's right. Just as you were putting aside your belief, a brand new child was born who can put it to good use. So long as that happens, Sam, and it keeps happening, I'll never be out of a job. Sam, I want to wish you a wonderful life. If you don't mind, I will continue to drop by in future Christmases just to make sure you're okay. Love, Santa. P.S. Remember, Sam, you don't have to believe in me to know I'm there. And that's the story of Sam I Am. Always something I like to enjoy and share with our listeners about Christmas. Little music from James Taylor. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. And we'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show.
Christmas future is far away. Christmas past is past. Christmas present is here today, bringing joy that may last. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. May your heart be light. In a year our troubles will be out of sight. From now on, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. In a year our troubles will be miles away. Golden days of yore. precious friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. I know that in a year we all will be together. If the fates allow, until then we'll just have to muddle through somehow. Yeah. Have ourselves a merry little Christmas now. Everybody knows.
James Taylor, have yourself a merry little Christmas. And we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. The Joffrey Ballet's critically acclaimed reimagined classic, The Nutcracker, by Tony Award-winning choreographer Christopher Wheeldon, returns to open the holiday season at the historic Auditorium Theatre of Roosevelt University in downtown Chicago at 50 East Congress Parkway in performances through December 30th. Wheeldon reimagines the beloved holiday classic, The Nutcracker, for a new generation, replacing the traditional 19th century setting with Chicago's 1893 World's Fair. Wheeldon's stunning choreography and the artistic team's visionary design will celebrate a turn-of-the-century Chicago as seen through a child's eyes. Set to Tchaikovsky's classic score, the Chicago Philharmonic, conducted by Scott Speck, music director of the Joffrey Ballet, will delight audiences with live music at every performance. The Nutcracker has remained very close to my heart ever since I danced in the world premiere of Robert Joffrey's production in 1987, said artistic director Ashley Reeder. I've danced in many Nutcrackers through the years and understand the power of a good story, well told. We tell stories in a different way today. Dancers, training skills, and are a hybrid of classical technique and contemporary athletic movement. We benefit from innovative theater technologies. We live in a diverse and rapidly changing world. Our storytelling must recognize these changes. I can think of no one better than Christopher Wheeldon to create our new Nutcracker. I have worked with Christopher for many years and discussed this Nutcracker for nearly a decade. Great art takes time. Christopher assembled a magnificent artistic team, and together we are reinventing a magical world amongst the grand concourses of the great city. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning star of stage, screen, and television, world-renowned dancer, having performed with the legendary Rudolf Nureyev and Margot Fonteyn. Teacher, mentor, member of the Royal Ballet, former ballet master of the San Francisco Ballet, visionary in the world of dance, and the artistic director of the world-famous Joffrey Ballet, now presenting Christopher Wheeldon's reimagining of Tchaikovsky's Christmas treasure, The Nutcracker, at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, Michigan to Congress, through December 30th. Our good pal, Mr. Ashley Witter. Ashley, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi, Kevin. It's great to be back on the show.
Always a pleasure. I love talking about The Nutcracker. You know that, and I know you do, too.
I do. I love talking about The Nutcracker. I think I must have spoken about The Nutcracker every year since I was 6 years old, which is when I did my first performance.
Is that when you started, really? Okay. And, you know, every year you've seen it, and it's still, you know, you still have those butterflies in your stomach when you see The Nutcracker Christmas time, don't you, Ashley?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, as you said earlier, I've done so many different productions, and when I went to the Royal Ballet School and I was a little boy of 11 years old, I was in Rudolf Nureyev's production at Covent Garden, and since then I've done so many, but I would say that it's a wonderful time of the year. And the Nutcracker always comes around in December, and I think that for all of us, we know the music so well, and it's really close to our heart.
I have a 2-year-old at home that recognizes when the beginning of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker comes out. He can't say Nutcracker. He says it in his own special way, but he recognizes that. And isn't that our responsibility to introduce people, young people, to the ballet, to theater, to music? And at Christmas time, what a great way to introduce them to classical ballet than to expose them to the Nutcracker.
I think so. And I think that, you know, Kevin, like, when we were reimagining the Nutcracker, we wanted it to appeal to every level, you know, young kids, adults, grandparents, that it would be accessible for young boys and men, that it wasn't just about, you know, little girls and their mothers going to the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. So I think that we really have tried to make this like a complete family performance.
And that's so very important. I think that maybe thinking about that at one time that, well, it's the women takes their daughters to the ballet. And I've certainly dispelled that mentality in my family. But this is a good time for young men to realize their dad should be taking them, their grandpa should be taking them, to enjoy this type of entertainment. And here we are within a reimagining of this story, which makes it even more contemporary from the standpoint of something that means something to Chicago.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the idea of setting it in Chicago and particularly at the World's Fair, and I think that from our point of view and from the book that Brian Selznick, who many of your listeners probably know from the film Hugo by Martin Scorsese, right. So Brian Selznick wrote that book. And when he wrote The Nutcracker, he really wanted to focus on working people coming together as a community and celebrating as a community. And I think that is the premise of our Nutcracker. It's about real people that don't have a huge amount of monetary wealth, but they have incredible wealth as friendship and family. And I think that at the holidays, at any time of year, family is really one of the most important things we have in life.
Very true. It takes place in the White City, the 1893 World Columbian Exposition here in Chicago in Jackson Park, which is still in existence today, of course. Just 20 years after the Chicago Fire, I'll let you tell the story of how Christopher reimagined this.
So, you know, when I moved to Chicago, Kevin, I've always loved Chicago. It's truly a great city, and it was one of the first cities that I ever visited when I came to America. And actually, before Robert Joffrey had a Nutcracker, I would come in and dance the Ruth Page Chicago Tribune Charities performance at Airy Crown.
I loved it.
And so I was here throughout the whole winter, and I literally loved being here. So coming back to Chicago and immersing myself in the history of Chicago, for me, not knowing about the World's Fair, coming from the UK, I think that for me, it was like an amazing fantasy. And the more I looked at the pictures and the more I read about the World's Fair, the more it seemed to me that that would be an amazing place that I would want to go today. And I think that then having the juxtaposition that our World's Fair is a fantasy, that it's in Marie's dream that she goes to the World's Fair, because she comes with she has a single mother, and she has a young brother, France. And so really, it is about the people that built the World's Fair, the workers that came from the Eastern European. Mm-hmm. And so Chris kind of picked up on all those traditions and told like a really beautiful story from beginning to end. And one of the issues I always had with the Nutcracker is that the second act is always just about divertissement, mm-hmm. and doesn't have a lot to do with the narrative. So we tried to like make sure that the narrative went all the way to the last note of the music. And I think that that last minute and a half of the ballet kind of brings everything full circle. And it is so incredibly moving. And it's what I said earlier, that at the end of our Nutcracker, it is about family. It's not about wealth. It's not about more sweets than you could ever eat. It's about the true meaning of community and family.
You know, interesting parallel chronology. 1892, Tchaikovsky's was introducing his Nutcracker. 1893, we were introducing the World's Columbian Exposition. How that chronology is kind of similar. It's kind of interesting.
It is.
we have this wonderful ballet, and here we are looking at it from a different perspective. And that perspective, like you say, is more from the standpoint of that working person, not necessarily from the wealthy or the rich or the well-to-do who are celebrating Christmas. And I think that's what makes it so important to Chicago here, important to us as we watch this.
I think so. And I think, you know, Christopher Wheeldon, there is so much dexterity in his work, in his creation. And I think at every level, you could look at it as a fantastic Broadway show. You can look at it as a serious piece of ballet. And it has every element of the story of Nutcracker. So the, you know, the tree does grow, the snow does fall. And yet what it has for me, which I've always longed for, is to have a heart. Like, it needs to have empathy for the people and compassion for the people that we are.
For 28 years, we enjoyed Robert Joffrey's ballet. And now we're enjoying this is the third year, I believe, that we're enjoying Christopher Wheeldon's. Would Robert Joffrey and Gerald Arpino have enjoyed this transition?
I think probably, you know, I was asked a very similar question not long ago, and the way I answered it is that, you know, having worked with both Robert Joffrey and Gerald Arpino, they were incredibly instrumental in my knowledge and understanding of American dance when I came to America and joined the Joffrey. And I think that what I took away from Robert Joffrey is that he was never afraid to push the boundaries mm-hmm. and try something new. And he felt that the Joffrey Ballet would always be a company that was eclectic, that was embracing, that had diversity. And today, I would hope that he would be proud of the company, that it's thriving in Chicago, and that we are still pushing the boundaries of new work and reinterpreting stories. So I would love to think that he's really proud of the work that we're doing.
The great urban planner Daniel Burnham, who designed, of course, Grant Park, said, "Make no small plans, because in them there is no magic to stir men's souls and probably will not be realized. Aim high in hope and in work." That's what the Joffrey is doing. That's what Ashley Weider is doing. That's what we're experiencing in this reimagining of this ballet.
Thank you. That's great to hear, Kevin. It's interesting that in our Nutcracker, the role of Drosselmeyer, which is now the great impresario, right, is based on the Daniel Burnham figure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that he made this city, the map, the blueprint that it was then, is the greatness of the city today. And I think that it's kind of wonderful to honor him as a figure in our Nutcracker. And also, you know, this year is the 125th anniversary, which is kind of a wonderful thing.
Right.
And then a year ago, we made a documentary with PBS, WTTW, about the making of an American Nutcracker.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wonderful is that it's been seen all across the country, and it just recently won an Emmy Award for documentary making.
So, oh, congratulations.
So
that's great.
It's really been fantastic. And the response that we've heard from people, not only in Chicago, but, you know, on the East, West Coast, the rest of the Midwest, is that they're so compelled by the documentary and the ideas behind reimagining a Nutcracker.
That's got to be a little difficult, Ashley, because of the reputation that you have engendered throughout the United States, throughout the world, very frankly, that we're kind of selfish. We want to keep you and this Nutcracker in Chicago around Christmas time, but other people might want to see it around the holidays too.
I think we've had lots of people that are very interested to see the Nutcracker, you know, in other big cities in America. But I think that we've always, you know, first and foremost, that Chicago is our home and it comes first.
Sure.
You know, the
sure.
city of Chicago is primo uno.
I didn't realize you were in Ruth Page's Nutcracker at the Airy Crown, and I'm trying to think of the man who played Drosselmeyer.
It was Richard Ellis.
Oh, yeah. Is he still around?
He is not, unfortunately. Uh-huh. His wife is still around, Christine Ellis uh-huh. Duboulay, and I see Christine a lot. And when Richard passed away, we dedicated the Nutcracker to him. He had been in the Ruth Page Nutcracker for 29 years.
Right.
And when I first came to do the Ruth Page, I shared a dressing room with him, which is how I got to know he and his wife, Christine, and And we have remained incredibly close friends ever since.
You know, we took our kids when they were little, and I want to say 4 or 5 years old, to start introducing them to Nutcracker back when Ruth Page was presenting it at Erie Crown. What a great place. And it was the only place, I think, the Nutcracker was performed in Chicago at the time.
Yeah, and it's an enormous theater.
Oh, yeah, huge. And it was packed. It was packed. And it was always something that I used to get tickets in, I think, July, because it was so popular. And but it was – he just did such a terrific job. He was Drosselmeyer.
He was. And he – and the thing is that, you know, he – like, Richard believed it. Every time he got into makeup, you could see that he was just taking on the role. And he wouldn't end that role until he took his makeup off at the end of the performance.
And he did a couple of performances a day sometimes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
For somebody who's coming to see the Nutcracker for the first time, Ashley, how would you prep them for that, to see what they're going to see?
I think that just to come and let the production sweep over you. And I think that, you know, there are so many incredible visuals with this Nutcracker. So you can engage in the story. You can engage in the incredible magic that is happening on stage, because it is larger than life. And I think that the production reads all the way to the very back of the theater. And so it's kind of wonderful to sit quite far away from the stage and see the entire production come at you as an audience member. But I would say to just let yourself go and be completely embraced by the magic of this production.
And the music by Scott Speck is just second to none, and that just gives you that exhilaration and excitement as you hear the overture, waiting to see what's going to happen and come next. And then the beautiful sets that you've put together for the Columbian Exposition is breathtaking also.
I mean, you know, Kevin, like, there's one thing that I kind of have really pushed hard to provide, which is live music. I feel that it's incredibly important. And I think that at a time when so many companies are not able to always have live music, I think it's something that is just fundamental to the experience of live performance. So I have to say that we're incredibly proud of the Chicago Philharmonic and Scott Speck, our musical director. He and I have worked together for years and years and years, and truly they make beautiful music, and they make that Tchaikovsky score live in all its full color.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to it, and looking forward to also coming up in the winter production, of course, Anna Karenina.
Yeah, I have to say, Kevin, I'm just beside myself, a little bit like I was with the Nutcracker. You know, it took 10 years to make the Nutcracker. And Yuri Pozhikov, who's the choreographer for Anna Karenina, he and I danced together as principal dancers in San Francisco Ballet. Mm-hmm. And I asked him probably like 7 years ago if he would think about doing Karenina, knowing that Yuri, who is Russian, you know, they grow up listening, reading, and understanding those great, great Russian novels. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's now coming to the stage in February with a commissioned score by a young Russian composer, Ilya Domunsky, and an amazing artistic team to tell this beautiful story of Karenina.
I'm not familiar with it. I've never seen the ballet before, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Well, I think it's a really stunningly beautiful work, and I think that the company have given Yuri Pozhikov 100%, the same way they gave Christopher Wilden 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you have an organization that is really at the top of their creative game, I think that many, many beautiful things come out of that.
Evidently, you can leave the Nutcracker, but the Nutcracker may never leave you. The ballet's rhythms and a host of associated memories don't disappear. They just get filed away in part of the brain and released in flashbacks filled with sometimes early memories and emotions. And, of course, there's the whole Christmas thing. The Nutcracker serves up an idealized Christmas on a platter full of treats that everyone has been promised at one time or other, by our parents or by books and movies and TV specials. Christmas can be a joyful and problematical holiday for nearly everyone. It's not religious enough for some. It's too religious for others. It's lonely for those without family, and it's too full of relatives for those who've had enough of being known by a childhood nickname. there's pressure to spend money, to commune, to be festive, and the holidays can become a time of heightened expectations and sometimes recurring disappointments. The Nutcracker, however, is simpler. Like Christmas, it always comes around in December, but no one expects quite so much from a ballet, so its gifts can be discovered in a more relaxed manner. It provides for all of us a small oasis of beauty, inspiration, and togetherness for the Christmas season. Classically trained to the highest standards, the Joffrey Ballet expresses a unique, inclusive perspective on dance, proudly reflecting the diversity of America with its company, audiences, and repertoire, which includes major story ballets, reconstructions of masterpieces, and contemporary works. The company's commitment to accessibility is met through an extensive touring schedule and innovative and highly effective education program, including the much-lauded Academy of Dance, official school of the Joffrey Ballet, community engagement programs, and collaborations with myriad other visual and performing arts organizations. Founded by visionary teacher Robert Joffrey in 1956, guided by celebrated choreographer Gerald Arpino from 1988 until 2007, the Joffrey Ballet continues to thrive under Ashley Weider, the Mary B. Galvin Artistic Director, and Greg Cameron, President and CEO. The Joffrey Ballet's critically acclaimed reimagined classic, The Nutcracker, by Tony Award-winning choreographer Christopher Wheeldon, returns to open the holiday season at the historic Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University in downtown Chicago at 50 East Congress Parkway in performances through December 30th. For information, 312-386-8905. On the line with us is our dear, dear friend, Ashley Weider. Always a pleasure chatting with you about Nutcracker, about anything, very frankly. And we're looking forward to a wonderful holiday season. I'm going to wish you a very good luck for next week, and I'm sure it's going to be a very successful Christmas for you after what next week brings. And thank you so much always. And I don't say this enough, for taking the time to chat with us.
Well, it's a pleasure, Kevin. I really enjoy talking to you as well. And I think it's wonderful that we live in a city that has embraced the arts in an amazing way. And to have a city that is a great sports city and a great art city, I think the two marry each other pretty well.
Merry Christmas, my friend, to you and Brian and everybody at the Joffrey, and a successful season, and we will talk soon.
Okay, fantastic, Kevin. Merry Christmas to all of you. Happy holidays.
Thank you, my pal.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Ashley Weider, the artistic director of the Joffrey. Always a joy to chat with him about any of his presentations, but especially the Nutcracker. It's my favorite, I think. And it's being presented through December 30th. For information, 312-386-8905. The Reimagined Nutcracker by Christopher Wheeldon. And many years in the making and thoughtfully put together and done in a different way. I think you'll really enjoy it. A great ballet for the family, story about Chicago, 1893, World's Columbian Exposition, 400 years celebrating after Columbus, of course, discovered America. Not very long after the Chicago fire, 20 years earlier. So if you have a chance, please enjoy the Joffrey. Again, phone number 312-386-8905. Real quickly, instead of three wise men, if we had three wise women, they would have asked for directions, arrived on time, helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, brought practical gifts, and then there would be peace on earth. I have endeavored in this ghostly little book to raise the ghost of an idea which shall not put my readers out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with me. May it haunt their houses pleasantly, and no one wished to lay it. Their faithful friend and servant in December of 1843, Charles Dickens. Marley was dead, to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. There is no doubt that Marley was dead. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I'm going to relate. And something wonderful is happening at the Goodman Theater. More than 1.5 million people have experienced Goodman Theater's family favorite, A Christmas Carol, one of Chicago's treasured Christmas traditions. now returning for the 41st year under the artistic associate Henry Wischamper's direction for the 6th year. This annual production remains the greatest seasonal story of all and features Chicago actor Larry Yando, who leads the 26-member cast as the irascible businessman Ebenezer Scrooge. Joining Yando is Paris Strickland, who reprises her role as Tiny Tim for the 2nd year. One Christmas Eve, Scrooge is visited by 4 ghosts who take him on a spectacular adventure through his past, present, and future, helping him rediscover the joys of love, life, and friendship. The run includes a first-ever Spanish-translated performance on December 28th at 8 o'clock and a sensory-friendly performance in partnership with the Autism Speaks Chicago on December 29th at 2 o'clock. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning artistic associate of the Goodman Theater, having directed plays nationwide at such venues as the Manhattan Theater Club, Atlantic Theater Company, the Old Globe, Williamstown Theater Festival, and the Portland Stage Company, founder of Portland's Shakespeare in the Park Festival, Drama League directing fellow, and a proud graduate of Yale University, now directing the 41st annual production of the Charles Dickens holiday classic, A Christmas Carol, at the Goodman Theater, 170 North Dearborn through December 30th, our good pal, Mr. Henry Wischamper. Henry, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thanks so much for having me, Kevin. I appreciate it.
You know, it's always great to have you. And I want to make a couple comments because we had the pleasure of seeing the play the other evening. Kareem Bandili, the narrator,
does
a very good job in setting things up at the beginning and tying things up at the end. I just want to mention that. It was different. It was very good.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. He's terrific.
You know, he does just a way of presentation that just it sets the tone. And for those who have seen it before, and we have many times, and you and I have talked about it so many times, it's still a joy. And those who haven't seen it, gives them a little taste of what's to come.
Yeah. No, I love the way he sets it up. His language use is extraordinary. He's very funny. I think he really sets up, as you just did in your reading, the fact that it is a ghost story, and that is the first thing that the audience needs to know. And one of the things that's really fun this year is that he is also playing the ghost of Jacob Marley. So he's sort of teeing it up for himself. And I really like a lot of the connections that are formed between the narrator and Jacob Marley.
So he's got to rush back and get his makeup on because he's got a lot.
He doesn't.
You know, having seen this so many times, and it never gets old, Henry, and I know this is the 6th year you've directed it, and it can't get old for you because it's something that you regenerate and reimagine every year, and it's still as vivacious and exciting as ever. It's every year I just look at it in such a different way. Every year I read the annotated the version, Michael O'Hearn's book about A Christmas Carol, and every year I get something different out of it.
I think that is one of the truly extraordinary things about the story. You know, it's an amazing story, but it does feel like it connects with you differently each time you engage with it. And I think that one of the things that's so interesting about our relationship to that story is our desire to return to it at this time of year, and the relationship of its message, of the possibility of renewal and of change and of making amends, I think is sort of something that we're all eager for in the darkness of December.
You know, I dare anybody, myself included, of course, to go to the theater and see A Christmas Carol and not during the tenure of the play at some time have a tear brought to their eye.
Mm-hmm. It's an amazingly powerful piece, and I think one of the things that we're really proud of here at the Goodman is the way that the spectacle of the production, which is so lavish and so filled with special effects, combines and balances with the emotional impact of the story, which is really quite remarkable. And I think for each person, what it is that sort of gets them is slightly different. And I think that really speaks to the richness of the story.
And again, you do this year in and year out, and you have to figure a way, how can I make it a little different for those who have seen it for the last 5 or 6 years, or in my case, the last 30, I think. and you did, because it was the scenery is kind of moving towards the audience, and it's moving away from the audience, and you get a different perspective. And there's Ghosts of Christmas Past and the Ghosts of Christmas Present that have a different feel to it. And each year is a little different. This year is a little different.
We love that here. I think it's part of the fun for us of doing it each year, is the opportunity to change it. I think it's part of what's fun for our audience, particularly those who, like yourself, have been coming for a long time and for whom it's a tradition. I think that game of what is different and how did I feel about it is part of the fun of being a long-time attendee of our production. But, you know, this year in particular, you know, we already talked about Kareem, who is playing the ghost of Jacob Marley. We have a new actor playing Bob Cratchit.
Right, right.
And those are both roles that haven't been cast with new actors in the 6 years that I've been doing it. And so, you know, I think the opportunity to explore those characters and the relationships that they have with Scrooge and with other characters has really brought a lot of new energy and a lot of new resonances to the production just with the changes in who's playing those roles.
A little paragraph from one of the reviews, if you allow me to read this. It should be said that this is a scary show in the deepest sense of that word, but also a joyous one. On the one hand, it deals with selfishness, greed, the emotional scars that can come with poverty and the fears of mortality. On the other hand, it is all about the power of love, the rewards of generosity, of spirit as much as of person, redemption. It is full of ghosts, some benign, some terrifying, and it is full of family life in all its guises. It is also full of music. And 175 years later, as we're enjoying this, Henry, it is a family joy to bring it to the theater. And I think that's so very important, because if you're going to introduce young people to the theater, which is our future audience, this is certainly some place to start.
Well, I think that is one of the things that's truly extraordinary about it. I mean, we know that over the 41 years that we have done this show, tens of thousands of people have had our production of A Christmas Carol be their first introduction to live theater. And many of those people have gone on to have lifelong love affairs with the theater. And it really is it's an extraordinary thing to watch an audience filled with family. We do several student matinees, and those are incredibly fun to watch students respond to the play. And I think that, you know, both the realization of the emotional impact that watching a play can have, but also the wonderment and the incredible what it does to your imagination to watch a play on this scale is really joyful for me to be able to watch audiences respond. And I greatly appreciate the fact, Kevin, that you brought up our Spanish language translated performance and our sensory friendly performance.
Terrific ideas, Henry. Terrific ideas.
Because they're both amazing ways to expand the opportunity for people to engage with this play even further than it already was.
And the little one, Paris Strickland, who is in her second year as Tiny Tim, she has some physical challenges, but the way she portrays Tiny Tim and what she does on stage is remarkable, and it's wonderful to see that.
She's an amazing person and a terrific performer. She's a cancer survivor. She is 11 years old now, I believe, and her sense of herself and her presence and just her deep intelligence, I think, radiate in her performance. And it's been great to get to know her and to work with her on the show.
If the responsibility of you as a director or those who put together theater is to stimulate and engage the audience's imagination, or to stimulate and engage the audience's creativity, or to stimulate and engage the audience's intellect, you know, you've done that so very well. Because we look at Charles Dickens, who, like we said, many, many years ago has put this story together. And, you know, a lot of autobiographical points in this story that kind of ring true to the way he grew up. And, you know, if you're going to look at any of the characters, he would probably be most identified as Fred, because he was a man who kept Christmas well. And and he kind of was responsible kind of for regenerating the spirit of Christmas in England at the time.
Well, I really appreciate your bringing that up. I do think that the play is filled with moments that are autobiographical. I think Fred's story is one, as well as the scene between Fan, who is Scrooge's sister, mm-hmm. and young Scrooge, I think is filled with autobiographical details from Dickens' life that are really heartbreaking and make that scene really one of the most poignant for me. I also think Peter Cratchit is filled with a lot of references,
sure.
to Dickens' childhood. So they're sprinkled throughout the story. And I think that, it's something that we talk a lot, particularly with the young performers. And I think that really helps them ground their imaginations in really specific ways that I hope help make those scenes feel more poignant.
Well, it brought a tear to my eye, that's for sure, because Dickens did work in a bootblacking factory. And we see that's the situation, as they say in England at the time, that little Peter is going to be. And his sister wasn't too thrilled about it, but nonetheless, it was something. Fortunately, he ended up, of course, being taken care of by Ebenezer in his true redemption, which is what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that is, it's a really poignant part of the story. And in some ways, it's just a detail that enriches the story. And in some ways, as you say, it really gets to the very heart of what the story is about.
Are you already thinking about next year?
A little bit, yeah. we tend to have our most important meeting about what we're going to do the following year while the show is still running,
uh-huh.
So that we can all talk about how we're feeling about where the show is at, and then go down and watch it one more time before it closes.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, we work on the show 13 months out of every year.
And it shows, because it's excellent every year. That's what it is. And certainly it's something for all of us to see this season and look forward to for many seasons to come. What's next up for Henry Wishcamper?
I am a full-time member of the artistic staff here at the Goodman.
So congratulations.
I'm back in my regular job, helping shepherd all the shows in our season. We have a really exciting season coming up with a lot of plays that I'm really thrilled to be working on.
Well, congratulations, and certainly well-deserved. Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh. His own heart laughed, and that was quite enough for him. He had no further intercourse with spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, and please join me, Henry, God bless us, everyone.
Everyone.
More than 1.5 million people have experienced Goodman Theater's family favorite, A Christmas Carol, one of Chicago's treasured Christmas traditions, now returning for the 41st year through December 30th. Under artistic associate Henry Wishcamper's direction for the 6th year, the annual production remains the greatest seasonal story of all time, and features Chicago actor Larry Yando, who leads the 26-member cast as the irascible businessman Ebenezer Scrooge. And on the line with us right now is Henry Wishcamper. Henry, I'm going to give a phone number of people who'd like to get some tickets, 312-443-3800. Always a delight and a pleasure to chat with you, of course, especially about A Christmas Carol. We do this every year. It's like a tradition, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this, Henry.
I really enjoy talking with you, Kevin, and wish you a happy holiday.
And to you and your family.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Henry.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Henry Wishcamper, the very talented director of one of the classics, A Gem in Chicago. It's something that we all should have the opportunity to see. The 41st annual production of the Charles Dickens holiday classic, A Christmas Carol, at the Goodman Theater, 170 North Dearborn, through December 30th. I want to read an excerpt, of course, and Henry and I were talking about that. If there is any autobiographical aspect of this, we look at Fred, who is Ebenezer's nephew, as the person who best personifies Charles Dickens and his thoughts. And Fred reflects upon Christmas, and he says, and this is quoting him in the novella, "I have always thought of Christmas time as a good time, a kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people below them as if they were really fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, Christmas time has done me good and will do me good, and I say, God bless it." Well, you know what Scrooge's response was, humbug, of course, but he changes his tune as the play goes on, and we all enjoy it to see that redemption and that change in him. And please, when you get the opportunity, step down at the Goodman and enjoy A Christmas Carol. For information, 312-443-3800. Hosting a party but can't decide on dessert? Well, never fear. Swirls Cupcakes can lend a helping hand by serving up some sweet treats. Cupcakes are the perfect addition to any party or event, and we're very fortunate to have the greatest cupcakes in the world right here in Chicago. Swirls Cupcake on the line with us right now is the owner of Swirls Cupcake, the favorite cupcake destination of Chicago. Swirls Cupcakes at 705 West Belden in the heart of Lincoln Park. Now celebrating Christmas and New Year's, our good pal Pam Rose. Pam, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi, Kevin. How are you? I was talking to your engineer, and I said, we dropped the ball, Kevin. We did not get cupcakes to the studio so you can eat them while we're talking.
We're heartbroken, Pam. I want you to...
He caught me with a gingerbread cupcake.
Please. Now you're killing me here.
I know.
Well, Merry Christmas, and I know it's a great time of year for you. And tell us all the special things you have for store for all of us.
Okay, so this year we've gone mad. I think we've absolutely gone mad because not only have we done like a whole new array of Christmas flavors, we've added other flavors to the menu for people to pick from. I mean, this year we have this butter fudge shortbread cookie, Italian lemon cheesecake. Raspberry tort. Let me do a mocha hazelnut crunch. I mean, that's just in addition to all the holiday flavors, you know, which we have gingerbread with a white chocolate and cream cheese, a triple chocolate, chocolate silk pie, amaretto cheesecake. It's wrong. It's just
Oh, that's terrific. That is just terrific. And, you know, every year you come up with some even greater ideas, and every year people just make a mad dash for Swirls. Even at the last minute, it's a great time to come. And what's great is not only the full-size cupcakes you have, but
all the minis
are terrific because the same ingredients, same flavors.
Everything that's filled, even in a mini.
And instead of eating one large cupcake, you can eat six or seven of small ones and feel much better about yourself.
Or just save them for later. You pace yourself. We call it cupcake pacing.
There it is. And now you have cakes also, right?
Oh, we do. We've just had three cakes grow up this morning that all had little white chocolate, beautiful little handmade white chocolate holiday trees, hand piped in a lollipop style so that they're three-dimensional.
Oh, great.
Just
great idea.
Adorable.
Great idea. And you could be and Swirls is at Whole Foods?
We are at Whole Foods. They carry a full lineup of our vegan cupcakes, just the vegan gluten-free, because, you know, we offer almost everything that we do in our regular flavors. Everything that we do in our regular flavors, we also do in mostly everything in gluten-free, vegan gluten-free. I mean, our vegan customers have gone almost insane with us. We even have vegan gluten-free Boston cream pie, lemon streusel. I mean, chocolate caramel toffee. We even made, you know, a beautiful vegan caramel, vegan toffee. So there's so many different varieties for everybody to pick from, no matter what the allergy. Today I have some soy-free ones out there that we've done for somebody that were just custom.
Wow. And how about Amazon?
I'm sorry.
Amazon?
Yeah. We are on Amazon. We are on Amazon. We're on Amazon Prime, Now, Postmates, Uber Eats. So you can get anything delivered. You can go online, have them done, and you can get them that way quickly.
No reason not to have Swirls cupcakes all over the house for the full holiday season.
Exactly, Kevin.
That's terrific. Who comes up with the ideas for the flavors?
You know, this is just so collective. Everybody here. There's not one employee, whether they're a student, a chef, my manager, all of us. Everybody's always coming in with something new. The butter fudge shortbread, my manager Paula came in and said one day, Pam, I know we don't do like name brand stuff like EL fudge or anything like that, but she goes, it is a good cookie. Can we make it like in a gourmet version? Mm-hmm. So we did and made all these homemade shortbread and a homemade fudge. And it's now like the top selling flavor in the cake.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
Kevin, you have to have them. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to rendezvous with you and drop these minis off for the studio. You have to try.
No, there will be no argument here.
All right.
You know, people would like to stop by at 705 West Belden, and
right.
It's a nice storefront that you have there, and they can enjoy your cupcakes right in the
yes,
the shop there. But also to come in, and you have a little area in the front where you can dash in and dash out so you can park right there.
We do. We have a nice loading zone, and we do curbside pickup, mm-hmm. or even if somebody wants to pull right up the alley, we run them right out. Mm-hmm. So this way no one has to take too much time. You can text us, and we get the text, and we'll run them right out to people.
And you will be open now, as far as the holiday goes, when?
Mm-hmm. We are open Christmas Eve from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m.
Okay.
And then we close at, we close at 5 on Christmas Eve. Okay. And then we're closed Christmas Day and the day after Christmas.
Oh, good. Good.
Just need a little bit of time. Everybody's been working so hard.
I bet.
They really need a little bit of time off. And then we're open all day New Year's Eve, but then close New Year's Day.
But people still want those cupcakes for New Year's holidays.
They do. We have open New Year's Eve, and we'll have our champagne truffle cupcakes again for New Year's Eve.
Ooh.
And, plus a bunch of other things, too. Oh, yeah, I've got the chocolate silk pie everybody wants for, like, every holiday. And the champagne ones, of course. People love to toast with the mini champagne cupcakes because they're adorable and delicious. And, you don't get hammered on them.
Well, that's why there's liquor to go with them. Now, we've known each other for many years. I've never, very frankly, met anyone who has the excitement and the energy that you do, but also the entrepreneurial and philanthropic things that you do for other people and donations you give through your cupcakes to those in need and those services who need some help. And you're always right there for them.
Well,
yeah, I mean, you're just wonderful. You know, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give, and you're certainly an example of that.
Oh, you're exactly right, Kevin. Thank you.
What's the most fun part of what you do?
The customers.
Yeah.
I just love the customers. I really, sometimes even if I'm coming in and I have so much work and I'm so overwhelmed, one customer comes in and it's the minute they walk in the door, it just makes you happy again. I mean, you walk up to our store and we have our sign got damaged a couple weeks ago and I was so bummed out, but then we just got it fixed and they returned it yesterday and it looks beautiful. And honestly, just coming to work and looking at that sign just makes you happy because you know so many people love coming here and love ordering our things and just love the experience of coming to Swirl.
Because,
it's just a happy place.
Because of you and your staff. The Moores are better having known you, and the city of Chicago is better for having you in the city of Chicago and providing such great services and cupcakes and so forth. And certainly Shannon and the boys love Swirl.
Then you best place that order and get off this phone right now.
I will do that. I will do that.
One for the kids.
God bless you, my dear. Thank you for everything you do. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your family, and a happy new year. I know next year is going to be even better than this year. People want some information. How do I get some information or come out?
Well, if you'd like to go to the website, it's www.swirlswithacupcakeshop.com. And our phone number is 773-404-2253. You can find us. We have a beautifully robust Instagram page. Our Instagram's gorgeous. Our Facebook, we're just at Swirls, SWIRLZ, Cupcakes. And you can find us all over and see. If you'd like inspiration for your holiday treats, just go to our Instagram page.
In the heart of Lincoln Park, 705 West Belden. God bless you, my dear. Thank you for everything.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, dear.
Bye-bye.
Pam Rose, what a terrific lady. She, and I said before, she just does so much for other people philanthropically and donates a lot of her services and product to people who are in need. And we thank her for that. Again, If you want to talk to her or talk to stop by and get some cupcakes, Swirls Cupcakes, 705 West Belden, 773-404-CAKE, Cake, 2253. My dad gave this to me many years ago, and I'd like to share this with our listeners. The holiday season, a time of loving and a time of giving. The first gift, that of his only son, was the beginning of the tradition of love known today as Christmas. And so, during this season when traditions are followed and love is in the hearts of all, I want to share these humble gifts with you. I wish you the gift of kindness, kindness in your words so as to create self-confidence within your spirit and soul, kindness in your thinking so as to create a profound new attitude by which to live each new day, and kindness in your giving so as to enhance the abundant love you give throughout the year. I wish you the gift of magic, magic to fill each candle, star, and light on your tree with the special feeling of love that only Christmas brings, and magic to last all year long and remind you of your many blessings. Yes, it would be a wonderful tradition to keep that magical kindness of Christmas in our hearts each day throughout the year. And so, the tradition of gift-giving reaches far beyond just the joy of buying and receiving. It is my hope that your Christmas spirit and love will be recognized in the sparkle of your eye and the grin on your face throughout this entire season as you remember that first gift, his only son. May the peace and joy of the season be yours today, and the Christmas tradition of love be yours to share throughout the coming year. God bless you and those you love. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guests, our good pal, Ashley Weider from the Joffrey Ballet, now presenting Christopher Wheeldon's reimagining of Tchaikovsky's Christmas treasure, The Nutcracker, at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, Michigan to Congress through December 30th. For information, 312-386-8905. Henry Wishcamper, the director of the 31st annual production of the Charles Dickens holiday classic, A Christmas Carol, at the Goodman Theater, 170 North Dearborn, through December 30th. For information, 312-443-5569. And finally, Pam Rose, Swirls Cupcakes. You can't miss them. Located at 705 West Belden in the heart of Lincoln Park, now celebrating Christmas and New Year's. For information, 773-404-CAKE. 2253. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Your heart will fall apart each time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. Yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music, the music.